It's good to see each one of you here this morning, and the past couple of weeks, it's been great to see some folks that haven't seen in a whole year, and it's wonderful to see God's people gathering back together. Those of you who are joining us at home, we want you to know that we love you, we miss you, we can't wait till all of us as an entire church family are gathered back together, but it's great to have you here this morning. Last week we celebrated Easter, and we looked at how we can see a pattern of the resurrection in all of God's creation. And we looked at stories in the Bible that speak of resurrection, stories not limited to the story of Jesus' resurrection, but other stories of resurrection. We looked at how resurrection is a reality in our spiritual lives, that we've been given new life in Christ. And we looked at the fact that we live with the hope of a future resurrection. Death is not the end, and the grave is not our final resting place. One of the realities that the Bible speaks about is that we are risen in Christ. And I want you to think about that this morning as we look through some scripture. We are risen in Christ. If we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we have trusted in Him, if we have believed in Him, we are risen with Christ, and we'll explore a little bit about what that means. Because Jesus Christ is risen, we are risen to a new life. We have a new heart, a new mind, a new soul. We have been renewed through what Christ did for us. And what Scripture teaches is that we also will rise again after our physical death because Jesus is risen. But I want to get down to what that means to us in our everyday lives. And first of all, I want to say that because of our faith in the risen Christ, we have a new identity. We are adopted into God's family. Scripture speaks of the fact that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. We have been given a new identity because Christ is in us. And not only do we know God through faith in Jesus Christ, but we discover that we have a new identity as a child of God. We're adopted into His family. And we experience this inner change from an old life to a new life. And we have a new identity in Christ. One of the common expressions that we use when we're talking about a person who's kind of struggling to know who they are as a person. And that could be someone who's in their teenage years or their early 20s, or it can be someone in a midlife crisis. And we'll say something like, he's trying to find himself. Anybody ever say that about you? He's trying to find himself, or she's trying to find her identity. And what we tend to do in our culture, especially here in America, but probably it's a universal thing, we put a lot of focus on our accomplishments, our success, our education, the things that we own, the kind of house that we live in, because in our minds and in our culture's minds, it's those kinds of things that define our identity. And so we look at a person and we say, well, you know, he's a Wall Street executive. And he lives in that big house up on the hill. And he's the guy that drives the Maserati through town. And we tend to define ourselves and our identity by what we accomplish, what we do, our success, our status in society. And probably every one of us at some point in our journey through life have wrestled with the question of who we are as a person, as an individual. Where do we find our true identity? We have, and the truth is, and what I want us to discover this morning, is that we have a new identity in Christ because His Spirit is in us, and that's what we're going to unfold this morning. I came across it'd be considered a poem or a writing that was first published in an alumni newsletter of an international school that's in Switzerland. It was later quoted in Christianity Today magazine. And as a graduate of the American school in Zurich, Switzerland, and this is what he wrote. I was born in Switzerland. I lived in Spain, Sweden, and Brazil. My dad's Swiss, my mom's American. I'm not Brazilian, Swiss, American, or Spanish. I'm 18. I'm lost. And I read that, and I can identify some with that because I grew up in Hong Kong. My parents were American. My entire neighbors, every single one of my neighbors in a housing project were Chinese. I went to a British school. I wasn't British. I wasn't Chinese. And I didn't grow up in America. But I came back to America in eighth grade. And it wasn't a happy thing. So I can identify with that because sometimes we try to figure out who we are and where we belong. I was also reading that back in the mid-1800s, Paul Gauguin was a famous artist. He and Vincent van Gogh were the key artists, impressionist artists. This has been over 100 years ago. And when he was 50 years old, and by the way, he never became famous till after he died. He never became rich. He never became famous. I doubt that any one of us here in this room could afford one of his paintings today. But Gauguin, when he was 50 years old, he scrawled in the corner of one of his paintings these words in French: D'où venons-nous? Que sommes-nous? Où allons-nous? Which translated into what we can understand: where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going to? And then Van Gogh swallowed a bottle of arsenic, laid down in his bed, and prepared to die. He didn't die. He laid there in bed sick for about 4 months till he fully recovered from his poisoning. He lived another 4 years. He died at the age of 54. He carried on painting, but in that one moment of despair, he expressed something that there are so many people today who are feeling. Who am I? Where do I belong? What's the purpose of my life? More and more people, I think, as a result of this past year and coming out of this past year, are wrestling with those big questions. You know, where did I come from? What am I? Where am I going to? I looked up online. Do you know that last year in 2020 here in the United States, over 48,000 people committed suicide? Another 48,000 or plus tried. It's the despair that we see around us. A story is told about Marlon Brando, and he was asked, "How are you?" one day, just a casual conversation, and this was his reply: "How do I know how I am when I don't even know who I am?" The writer Edward Dahlberg observed, "At 19, I was a stranger to myself. At 40, I asked, 'Who am I?' And at 50, I concluded I would never know." Woody Allen put it a little differently. He said that his only regret in life was that he wasn't somebody else. But we have a different story. Our identity, if we have put our faith and trust in Christ, our identity is in Him. We are risen with Christ, Scripture says. And when I think about that, it's a rather mind-boggling concept because I feel so earthbound. We feel so earthbound. We feel so constricted and confined by the material world that we live in our own physical state. And yet, Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. There's something that takes place inside of us when we put our faith in Christ. And so, what we're going to see in these few minutes this morning is that because Jesus Christ is risen, we also are risen with Christ. We have a new life and a new identity right here and now, and we have a new hope, the hope of eternal life. When the Bible speaks about being risen with Christ, it is within the context, first of all, of a changed life, and then it's within the context of a changed mindset or focus on how we view life. And then it comes down ultimately to a changed hope. The Apostle Paul wrote a lot about our new life in Christ, about changed life, about the Spirit of Christ in us. He never met Jesus in person before Christ's resurrection and death, but he knew a lot about him. Saul lived in Tarsus, which was in Turkey. Jesus spent all of his time in Galilee and around Jerusalem. One thing we do know about Paul is that he hated the followers of Jesus. After Jesus' death and resurrection, when more and more people started coming and joining the way, what was known as the way, became followers of Jesus, and this church began to grow in Jerusalem. Not just dozens of people, not just hundreds of people, but thousands of people right there in Jerusalem. And Paul saw that movement, and he hated the followers of Jesus, and he hated that growing movement that came after Jesus' resurrection. You could say, literally, he was hell-bent on destroying the early church and those followers of Jesus. He did everything that he possibly could to destroy the early church in the first century. That is, until one day. One day when he encountered the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him, and Paul was forever changed. We don't know how Jesus appeared to him, but it was obvious that he was there in some form, in a resurrected form, and he encountered Jesus, or he encountered Saul on the road to Damascus. And when Jesus appeared to Paul, his life was changed forever. He was dead to his old life, and he was alive to a new life in Christ. He was dead to his own arrogance and self-righteousness as a Pharisee. He was dead to his legalistic judgmentalism of others. And he became alive to Christ's love, alive to grace, alive to compassion and love for others. Once known as Saul, the Apostle Paul had a new identity in Christ, and he considered himself risen with Christ, alive in him through his Spirit. So let's look at those three things. First of all, a changed life. We are risen with Christ, and that means that we have a changed life. I'd invite you to take your Bibles or your Bible app and turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. And in my Bible, it has the title of this chapter, is Life Through the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ in us. Life through the Spirit. What does that mean? And so I begin reading in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And Paul is, let me just give you a highlight to set the stage for this. He starts off by saying that those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're no longer under condemnation. That's good news. Because if left to myself, I would feel condemned every time that I fail to do what I should. We're not under condemnation. And then he talks about the fact that we no longer just live according to our own sinful nature, but there's a change that takes place, and this is what Paul is talking about in verse 9. So in contrast to people that are just constantly driven by their own selfishness and their own sinfulness, the Apostle Paul says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, meaning we're still going to be physically have struggles and we're physically going to be sick, and one day we will physically die. Your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal or your human bodies through the Spirit who lives in you. And I look at that passage and I'm reassured by the fact that what Paul is saying to us is if we have put our faith in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you. I don't think I fully recognize the significance of that. The Spirit of God lives in you. If you have put your faith in Christ, you need to know today, if you don't already or not already cognizant of it, that God's Spirit lives in you. God's Spirit lives in you. And that means, as Paul is unfolding this, that you're no longer controlled by your sinful nature and impulses. We struggle with things, but you are no longer driven and controlled by your sinful nature and impulses because God's Spirit is in you. You may wrestle with some things. You may have some temptations that you struggle with, but you are no longer controlled by your own sinful nature because God's Spirit is in you. There's a change that takes place in our lives when we put our faith and trust in Christ and when He and His Spirit dwell in us. And what Paul is saying is that your spirit, your body may have its struggles, but your spirit is alive because God's Spirit is in you. That's an amazing thing, and it's God's Spirit in us that gives us encouragement and confidence and strength. And then this is just an incredible statement. Get a hold of this. I need to get a hold of this. I need to remind myself of this every day. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. That's amazing. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And because the risen Christ is in you through His Spirit, you have a changed life. And you have a changed mindset and focus. Turn over a few pages in the New Testament to the book of Colossians. This is a book that the Apostle Paul wrote. It's actually a letter to the church in Colossae. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read the first four verses. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, Paul's not talking about the fact that they had died physically. He says, you have died, meaning that you have come to an end of your old life, and now you have a new life that is hidden with Christ in God. We have a changed mindset and a changed focus. Paul says, set your heart, your focus, your desire, your love on the things of God. Since you've been raised with Christ, since you have this new life, set your hearts on the things that are above. You make a decision. You have been raised with Christ. So change your mindset. Change your focus. Set your heart. Focus your desire, your love on the things above. In another place in Romans chapter 12, Paul talked about the fact that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. God's Spirit in us changes our mindset and our focus. He transforms us through the renewing of our mind. Jesus, early in His ministry, said in Matthew chapter 6, says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So when God's Spirit is in us, when the risen Christ is living in us through His Spirit, there's a change of focus that takes place because we have been raised with Christ and our life is in Christ. And one day we will be with Christ in glory. That's amazing. And I think how often, maybe I make excuses for things that I do that I shouldn't do. How often I can slip into this mindset, like maybe we all do sometimes. Well, I just can't help it. You know, I'm struggling. I'm a little bit down. Things aren't going very well. And it's like, Paul, Good grief, you've been raised with Christ. For goodness sake, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things that are above, where Christ is seated, not on earthly things. You've died to those things. There's a change that's taken place inside of you. And when Christ appears, you will appear with him. Your life is in Christ. One day you will be with Christ in glory. Then the third thing that I want to look at is the fact that we have a changed hope. If you look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 in particular, just go a few pages, or a page before where we just read, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And Paul's talking about the fact that God had given him this calling to make known what he described as the mystery, or the fullness of the mystery of God. And he wanted to make known to other people who'd been excluded from the message. He wanted to make known to them what he referred to as the Gentiles, everyone else outside of the Jewish faith. He wanted them to know the riches and the mystery of the gospel. And this is what he says in verse 27 of chapter 1. To them, meaning to the generation of Paul's day that was outside of the Jewish faith, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. So what's the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when Paul uses that word mystery, and I think several weeks ago I may have explained this, he's not just talking about something that we can't know, or something that's mysterious or strange or we're trying to figure out. He's talking about something that previously had not been revealed and understood, and now God is making that known. And in particular, it was this thing that for centuries and centuries, the Jewish people believed that they were the only ones who were God's people, and the mystery was that was being unfolded was that God all along, through the Jewish people, had intended to make himself known to all the nations of the earth. And now God's plan, or his mystery, was being revealed through Christ's coming. And that mystery was, first of all, that people everywhere would have a place in God's eternal kingdom through Christ. It wouldn't just be limited to this demographic, to this ethnicity. People in the whole world would have a place in God's kingdom. That's part of the mystery that Paul was revealing. But secondly, is this amazing reality that Paul is saying is that we have hope. And that hope is the glory of God in us. How amazing that is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the hope of glory, the hope of eternal life in us. Christ in us. When I was preparing for this, I thought, I just need to go sit out on my porch and over and over and over and over and over and over again, I need to say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want to look at you this morning and I'm going to say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 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 Our hope of eternal life is not out there somewhere waiting for us. It is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And one day we will experience a resurrection, and one day we will experience a completely, fully transformed life. But right now, right here, in the midst of all of our junk, in the midst of all of our stress, in the midst of all of the problems and challenges of life, we need to remind ourselves, Christ is in us, and he is the hope of glory. and we live every day of our lives. Whether we realize it or not, we live with that reality. If we have put our faith and trust in Christ, Christ is in us and He is the hope of glory. We have present tense eternal life through faith in Christ. Doesn't feel eternal. When I get up in the morning and my knees are sore, that doesn't feel very eternal. Feels pretty earthbound. If I forget what I want to say, and I'm looking at Jenny and my mind has gone blank, that doesn't feel very eternal. It feels pretty earthbound. And I think maybe one of my problems, maybe it's your problem too, is that we go through this life as Christians wanting to follow Jesus, but somehow we think that, well, all of those promises, they're just out there somewhere. When we get to heaven, and it's true, there will be things that we experience that we never imagined or dreamed of before, but we tend to think, well, all that's got to wait till then. I've just got to struggle through this life, got to do the best that I can, and then one day when I go to heaven, all these things will go away. But the gift of eternal life is a gift that's given to us now. It's the already and not yet. It's always a tension in Scripture. We've already experienced the presence of Christ in our life, but yet, not yet, will we fully see Him and fully experience the amazing wonders of heaven. And I say all of this just to say that our hope is not just in the future. It is a present reality. We can live with that hope in our everyday lives. We have a changed life. We have a changed mindset and focus. And we have a changed hope. Our hope just isn't in the things of this world. Our hope isn't in wealth. Our hope isn't in the medical profession. Our hope isn't in the governments of this world. Our hope is in Christ. And it's a present reality. How would it change the way you view each day? And how would it change the way that you live your life if you really got a hold of the reality that Christ is in us through His Spirit? How would that change the way I view each day? How would it change the way we would live our lives if we can get a hold of that reality? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you through His Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we also, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory and are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." We ought to look more like Jesus than the day we first put our faith and trust in Him. We ought to reflect His likeness more and more in our lives. Paul says we are being transformed. That's an ongoing. We are being transformed to be like Christ with ever-increasing glory. That means day by day as I walk along in my life, I ought to be being changed and transformed and becoming more and more like Christ. And that comes from His Spirit in me. And it comes from His Spirit in you. I'm convinced that we often live so far below our potential because we forget that our true identity is in Christ and that His Spirit is within us. We are risen with Christ to new life, awaiting eternal life. You are risen. If you put your faith in Christ, you are risen with Him to new life. You are waiting for eternal life, but it's already started in you because Christ, the hope of glory, is in you. And in Romans chapter 8, to go back to that passage, but if Christ is in you, your spirit is alive. And if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life through his spirit who lives in you. He will give you life through his spirit who lives in you. I ask you to bow your heads, and we're going to have a closing song here in a moment. And just as you quietly reflect on God's word, just ask yourself, are you aware of the fact that if you were a follower of Jesus and have given your life to him, are you aware of the fact that the Spirit of Christ is in you, present tense, and that he is your hope of glory? Lord Jesus, you gave your life for us so that we might have eternal life. There's no condemnation in you. We no longer have to live our lives struggling every day with the sinfulness and the brokenness of humanity, because you are changing us from the inside out through your Spirit. I pray that you will help us to realize that we are risen with you, that we have a place in your family, in your kingdom, and that you have given us your Spirit. May we realize every day that we can rest in your promises, we can rest in your word, we can trust in your Spirit who is in us. We pray that you will continually renew us, refresh us, help us to refocus each day of our lives so we keep our eyes on you and realize that you are the one who changes us and transforms us. You've given us a new life. And you've given us the hope and the reality of eternal life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together as we close in singing?
Secure from all the law.
the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Leave this place knowing that if you put your faith and trust in Christ, His Spirit is in you. The Spirit of the risen Christ is in you. God bless you all.